You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Beautiful night here in the state of Wisconsin as we broadcast live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Our question of the night, you still have time to get in on the fun. When you think mediocre sitcoms, what show comes to mind? Also, tonight's keyword in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state Text to Win contest is LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H. Text that in on the app and on the app only, folks. And then when we send you a confirmation link, click on that and sign up for Civic Media Today or the Civic Media Newsletter or our social media outlets, and you will increase your chances to win $200 cash and gold jewelry. That's the daily prize. And when you text in the keyword, you are also eligible for the grand prize. Two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's professional football, and it's a Green Bay home game, November 23rd at 12 p.m., and we're throwing in a gas card, too. It's a $1,500 plus value. That's some good walking around money right there. So good luck, everybody. Right now, joining me here at Nightlight is our pal, Sean Hanisch, and our new pal, Paul. Paul, tell me how to say your last name again.
Sure. Jaconi Beery.
Jaconi Beery. That's a great name. All right.
Well done.
It's great to meet you. And this is so funny because I made this film years ago called The Godfather of Green Bay, paired myself up, this Midwestern boy, with my friend Brian and his brother Josh, Brian and Josh Edding, who are from the Valley. And it's funny how Midwest people always go, oh, everybody's so weird out there. I think people that grow up out there are fine. They're like everywhere. It's the people that move there from Chicago or Milwaukee or Minneapolis that feel like they have to act a certain way. Honest to God, my experience is like, oh, God, they're just like Valley kids. You know, it's like, I don't know where you grew up, Paul, but I had a lovely experience with Californians.
We're great.
All right. It is great to have you guys here. We're talking about a movie that Paul and Sean are helping or have helped get into theaters. It opens in a couple weeks, called No Packers, No Life. The director is Craig Benzine. Tell us a little bit about the movie itself, you guys.
Well, I'll jump in. The movie is it's a very simple story, but so resonant when it comes to friendship and community. Really, the story is about Ty Morse, who is the producer of the film. He's also one of the stars of the film. He has traveled to Asia well over 100 times. And a number of years ago, he was on a trip and he was in Tokyo, which, you know, has this big crossing called Shibuya. And it's the big one with all the crosswalks. It's in all the movies and all you see it. He was crossing the street and he actually saw somebody wearing a Green Bay Packers jersey. And he'd never seen this on any of his 100 trips. He'd never seen anybody with a Packers jersey. So he goes up to him and he says, "Go Pack, go." And the guy turns around and he says to him, he goes, "Go Pack, go." And the two of them start going, "Go Pack, go," back and forth until they're in the middle of this crossing going, "Go Pack, go." And the guy that was really, they were both so excited, but neither of them spoke. Ty doesn't speak Japanese and this gentleman doesn't speak English, but they spoke Green Bay Packers. So that one would say Donald and the other would say Driver.
Wow.
One would say John, the other would say Coon. So and this guy was on his way to go and watch the Packer game with all of his buddies. And what Ty found is there is this group of passionate Packer fans in Tokyo that call themselves the Japanese Packers cheering squad. And they have been cheering on the Packers since the early 90s. So, wow. You know, since about the time of, you know, the first days of Brett Favre and Reggie White, when they started televising the NFL over, you know, in Japan. And so they became huge fans. And so he stumbled into this really great, you know, passionate group of Packer fans half a world away. And so he goes back to Green Bay and he says to his buddies, he was like, "You know, I think we should bring him over to go to a game at Lambeau." And they make room in all their houses. His father-in-law has three rooms. A buddy down the street has two beds. And so they ended up bringing over and hosting almost 30 Japanese Packer fans.
Wow.
And took them to Lambeau Field. And this is a documentary about that experience, about that trip, about the friendships that were made, and really about how amazing it is to be a Green Bay Packer fan, whether you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, or, you know, you're in the middle of Tokyo. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what the film's about, but it doesn't quite capture just, you know, the spirit of what it's like to be really from Wisconsin and a Wisconsin sports fan, because that's what it makes it like the baseball movie. Is both of these movies are about the fans of Wisconsin and how special we all are.
I heard that, I think Craig told me that these people in these Japanese people would watch VHS tapes of old Packer games. Like, I don't even do that with my teams. And why do they do that? Do they not have access to the live games all the time, or do they just like to relive these great memories?
No,
they have access.
Yeah. They show up at a karaoke bar at 2 a.m. Monday morning to watch the game live. But then they have these regular get togethers where they watch their favorite game. So at the end of the season, they'll watch their favorite game of the season. And then, you know, in the off season, they'll have these regular tape viewings. And I think, you know, Sean was talking about how this movie connects to Just a Bit Outside. And for me, what really connects here is it's about community, right? And it's about how sports and teams build community. And whereas Just a Bit Outside is about, you know, the building up of Milwaukee over the course of that magical season, this is about the creation of community around the world,
yeah,
right? And how sport can bring people together across boundaries of language, across boundaries of culture, across boundaries of history, across, you know, a dozen time zones, right? So that was the magic for us, is that this has something really beautiful to say about the power of the Packers and sports generally to bring people together. And it's really a film about joy and about friendship. And so, you know, we really also felt that, like, right now, that kind of film, like, there's very much a place for that film for all of us, I think. I think we could all use a couple hours of just joy and connection. So that's why we're here.
That's the voice of Paul Jaconi-Berry, and Sean Hanisch is with us too. They are executive producers and distributors of the movie No Packers, No Life, which opens in Marcus Theaters in a couple weeks. So, Sean, compare what you expect out of the audience if you had to draw a parallel between Just a Bit Outside and the reaction you got with that film in theaters to what you think it will be like for No Packers, No Life.
I think people are going to be a little happier about the ending.
Oh, you hope so, right?
the ending of I'm so proud of the ending of the Brewers film. It's very profound. But this one's really about, you know, I think if the film's about anything, it's really about, you know, finding your passion. And I think, listen, you know, whether it's 1982, the summer of 1982 in Milwaukee, where the city just became and the state became electric by this group of players that we all felt like, you know, we'd meet in the parking lot and have a beer with, or, you know, they just felt like part of the community. This film is similar in that, you know, the Packers themselves feel part of the community. I mean, maybe, you know, some of the listeners out there took their bike, you know, when they were kids to, you know, the practice facility and had the players in, you know, when they were in their, you know, camp, you know, ride the bike over, you know, I mean, the Packers is a community. It's a community of, I think what is kind of cool about this film is it gives us, and I say us because I'm born and raised in Wisconsin and have been a Packer fan since I could remember my first word, is that it really shows us what we have is so incredibly special, that people that grew up in people that live in one of the biggest cities in the world would find the fact that there's an NFL team in a city of 110,000 people in the smallest market in all of pro sports that would have such a huge footprint kind of on American sports culture and world sports culture. So it kind of holds up a mirror. And in a way, I thought, wow, you know, we are really lucky. We're so lucky to have this team. I mean, it's such a crazy thing to think that this team even exists. And that's what I get through watching the Japanese fans talk about what it's like to be a Packer fan, but also what it's like to visit Green Bay and Wisconsin. One of the lines that I love from the trailer, and one of the Japanese fans when they came over said, Wisconsin is human.
Wow.
And I think that's really beautiful because it's true. Wisconsin is human. We try so hard to make everybody else feel at home and feel comfortable. Maybe not Viking fans, but other than them, we try to make everybody feel at home.
It's definitely there. It's so unique because of what you just said, the size of the city. I think, you know, if Green Bay had 800,000 people or whatever, it might just be, you know, still a popular franchise. But you're right. The size of the city makes it so like people that don't have teams, I think, in America and even overseas tend to gravitate towards the Packers just because of the story behind them. The city owns the team. It's the only team in the city. And it makes me think, I cannot believe they used to play half their season in Milwaukee. Like, yeah. How did that, you know, and it was a good thing for the people in Milwaukee. It was still the Green Bay Packers, but I don't know why you would give up those four games. Certainly they don't anymore, but.
It was actually Lombardi's idea to start taking games down to Milwaukee because they needed the money.
Lombardi, what's he done?
I know, right? When he came, they needed the money. So, but it's all worked out in the end.
Absolutely. What do you guys have in store next? Like, this is your second sports movie. You had different roles on this one, but you're still an integral part of it. Like, what's next?
What is next, Paul?
Gee, that's a good question. There's like 10 different things. It kind of depends, you know? We're actually, you know, on the distribution side, I will say this. We're developing this little distribution business, and we have been in conversations with a number of other filmmakers about bringing their films into the world. So along with our own projects that are currently simmering at various stages, we're also hoping to get a few more films out there in the coming year and really, you know, help folks find an audience, you know, because that's why we do this. We do this so that we can find an audience and share stories with them. So that's been a little bit of our focus for the minute.
Can you talk about any more Wisconsin sports movies? Like, you seem to hit a niche here that, you know, there's a demand for it.
Well, it's, you know, we've had a lot of people reach out since Just a Bit Outside. And you know, we've talked to a number of people that you'd know about, you know, potentially doing other documentaries, you know, a different one about the Brewers, a different one about the Packers. You know, I think it's... The fans of Wisconsin are so special. Like, I feel like we could, you know, continue to bring all these stories and people will continue to show up as long as they're good. But this is a good movie. And you know, those who saw Just a Bit Outside would agree that was good too. I mean, one Wisconsin sports story that Paul and I have been writing is, and I think I mentioned this at a previous show, we're writing the story of the early days of Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry.
That's great. And, hey, can you guys stick around for a couple more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to do a really quick break. We'll come back and close things up. We'll have a few more minutes with Paul and Sean, and we'll finish up your text. And I'm going to ask you guys what your most mediocre sitcoms is, too. So think about that over the break, too. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. We've got a few more texts here we'll get to from the 920. Caroline in the City. No name, just 920. That's interesting because Caroline in the City had a character that was from Peshtigo, Wisconsin, which is like 6 miles from where I live right now. So Caroline in the City. Yeah, kind of forgettable, though. I'm with you. Melissa from Willie Street says, two broke girls. That's the second text for two broke girls tonight. And then John in the 608 says, my three sons. Oh, okay. We have another text from Steady Eddie and John we will get to shortly right now. One more reminder, folks. Tonight's keyword is laugh. L-A-U-G-H, laugh. So get your keyword in on the app. Good luck. We have a couple more minutes here with our guests, Paul Giacone Beery and Sean Hannish. They are the executive producers behind No Packers, No Life, which opens in Marcus Theaters in a couple. What's the exact date, you guys?
October 17th.
Okay. Will you guys be here for at any of the screenings or?
We're gonna be there that whole week. Nice. We're gonna be there for the opening on the 17th, but we're also gonna be there for the VIP premiere, which is gonna take place at the Majestic, Marcus Majestic in Waukesha.
Oh, nice.
And that's Wednesday, October 15th. Pete, you should come down for it. It's gonna be fun. We're getting some of the some great Packers are gonna be joining us. We just confirmed that George Kuntz, Super Bowl champion George Kuntz, is gonna be joining us.
We're
gonna have a few other folks that we'll be announcing, along with the filmmakers, and one of the producers was Jay DeMeritt, who is a captain of the U.S. men's national soccer team back about 15 years ago. So it's gonna be a really fun night, and it'll be the premiere screening of the film.
I would love to go. I'm not a very important person, so I don't know if I qualify for the VIP, but you could just give me an AP ticket, like a person. Pete is, you know, sitting in that the Euchre seats.
And tickets are available. There are a limited number of tickets for the public if they want to attend the VIP screening. They're available at the website nopackersnolife.com.
Great.
They're going quick for anybody who's interested. And as Sean said, we're going to be announcing some additional Packers legends over the coming days and weeks. We'll be joining us there.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, I wish you luck, guys. Keep bringing these great movies. You know, it's so refreshing. I just saw the movie One Battle After Another today. Loved it. But there are so few films like on a bigger scale, like that come out, like Sinners or that one, that aren't superhero franchise, whatever. I really think there's like a market for these kind of local heightened interest films about sports. It's just so great that you can go to the theater too and have that experience.
Well, that's kind of what we want to do. We want to test this out. And if, you know, we just think people still want to go to the movies.
Absolutely.
You know, and have a good couple of hours of escape.
Absolutely. All right. Before we let you guys go, I have to ask you, what show comes to mind? And I have to be careful because these guys are both writers. So don't say anything they might have worked on. It's like looking at your IMDb pages before going, all right, don't insult the guests, but you're not on there. And I know you only do awesome work. But personally, I'd love to be, you know, if someone's heard of my sitcom and they trash it, I don't care as long as the check's clear. But what do you guys, what do you think of when you think of mediocre sitcoms?
Don't take mine, Paul.
I don't think I'm going to. You go first.
Alf.
Oh, interesting.
Alf, but I was a kid.
You're a bit younger. yeah, Alf. I thought Alf was, you know, it went 4 seasons on NBC, mid-late 80s. And, I was just reading. There was a little controversy about the ending. I guess the puppeteers weren't getting along with the actors. Anyway, I think there's more there to unpack.
Alf walked out right during the.
Mine's a slightly deeper pull. When I was a high school student, I had the opportunity to be in the audience of Golden Palace, which was a spinoff of The Golden Girls, where two of the Golden Girls and they ran a hotel in Miami, and it was very mediocre.
I don't even remember that one. And The Golden Girls was great. It's so funny how you can have that big of a drop off, you know, it's like Joey or the Friends spinoffs or whatever.
You lose Estelle Getty, it's all over.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much. Best of luck with the screenings. Keep me posted. And Sean, I'll probably see you with the rest of the band very shortly again here on the show.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks, Pete.
Paul
Giacone Beery and Sean Hannish. Go to that. What's the website again, real quick, guys, for the tickets?
NoPackersNoLife.com.
Outstanding. Have a great night, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much.
You got it. A couple more texts here. Jim from Appleton says, my mother, The Car, early TV sitcom. I kind of remember that name, but I've never seen the show. But thank you, Jim. John Murray in Madison says, Mary Tyler Moore's spinoff Rhoda gave me issues and I abandoned it at like age 12. Best show ever back then. Bob Newhart, but his Ski Mountain spinoff was Daryl and Daryl and not much more. Why? Why, Bob? Even Sheldon was not down with that business. I don't know. I like both Bob Newharts, but you know what, John? You're a savvy guy. To each his own. I really appreciate the text. And yeah, that's a tough one. I remember liking Mary Tyler Moore. I don't remember much about Rhoda, but I did like Bob Newhart. But we can agree to disagree, John. Steady Eddie says, I loved Downton Abbey, the TV show, the continuing story, the writing, the actors, the music, the costumes, the settings, and the cinematography were all wonderful. I looked forward to watching it every Sunday night. Steadfast Edward says, pip, pip, cheerio, Downton Abbey, nicely played. The first movie was only okay. I think there were too many characters in the TV show for the movie to do them all justice. Wow, that's a well-thought-out text. Thank you, Steady Eddie. He adds a postscript, Conrad. He says, I have already forgotten the names of many mediocre TV sitcoms. Hey, great show tonight. Thank you to Sean Hanisch, Paul Ciccone-Berry, and our pal Chris Foran. Thank you, Conrad. Conrad, thank you, seriously. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome.
Oh, great stuff. Thank you for all your texts. Good luck in the contest. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again with some great guests. Catherine Lake will be here to tell you about A Godfather of Green Bay screening in Madison coming up. Our pal, actor Dan Davies, and Greg Bach will talk about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival at 6:35. So great show, jam-packed show again tomorrow night. We'll have a great question for you. Please join us again. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab, saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you here on this Wednesday night. The last farmer's market in downtown, on Broadway. I got to keep catching myself, yep. Conrad. I've never been to the farmer's market here.
I haven't either.
It's like $9 for an ear of corn. And you have to cook it yourself and there's no butter. How is that fun? It's not, folks. So we're going to bring the fun to make up for that lack of fun. And oh God, that was brutal. That might be the worst. Let's just move on. All right, this is exciting though. Things are about to pick up because my pal Greg Bach is about to join us. He is a fellow host here at Civic Media. He is one of the co-hosts of Matinair on Air. He does every day with Jane Matinair. They do a great job talking current events. They'll make you laugh. They do it all. Greg is also a very funny comedian and one of the producers of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, and he joins us now here on Nightlight over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, my friends. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. Did you get a haircut, Greg?
I did. I got a haircut, and I got rid of the beard, and yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that's Greg Bach, Conrad. Can you verify?
I think
You'll
that is Greg.
Know. You'll never know.
The voice sounds real. I trust you. Hey, buddy. It's great to have you here. You look outstanding.
Thanks. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me this evening. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. And I think there needs to be more comedy. Anytime there's a festival or a fun show yeah. coming up, we have to talk yeah. about it. But before we get there, and maybe this is apropos because you just got a haircut, not saying you have bad mm-hmm. hair, certainly, but what celebrity, Greg, our question tonight is, has the worst hair?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Gosh. What celebrity has the worst hair?
I say you could think about it for a while and we can come back yeah. to it. I said Bon Jovi, Russell.
Really?
You know, yeah, it looks like he spent 2 hours trying to make it look perfectly messy. It's annoying.
Oh, see, that doesn't sound like you don't. I think you're jealous of that hair, Pete Schwab. I don't think it's about the quality of his work. I think it's more about the impact, and you're jealous of his coif. And it is coiffed for 40 plus years, and it's always
that's
his
part
hair
of it.
Has stayed as relevant as his music has stayed relevant.
Well, we could argue that too. I don't think his music. I have jumped off the Bon Jovi train years ago. I just find it.
Oh boy! Welcome everyone to Pete Schwabba being brave.
Oh, but listen, I thought you actually were
speaking truth to power.
I thought you were talking. I thought you were going to fight me on that for a minute there.
No, no.
Okay.
No. I understand the impact of Bon Jovi, and I understand that people love Bon Jovi, and you know they have a place in this world, and God bless them for doing what they wrote amazing songs that make you tap your toe
in the
and
80s,
take you back to middle school dances, and yeah, so I'm pro Bon Jovi, but I just don't listen to them anymore.
When you say Bon Jovi and I say Bon Jovi, are we talking about the same band? I just want to clarify that before. Okay.
I just like feeling a little sassy. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
You give love about a name.
He's a very handsome man. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So we'll come back to you.
Yeah.
For
so
your
I'm going to keep that in the back of my noggin here, my brain box here, and try to think of a celebrity with the worst hair.
The other one, Greg, I had was Boris Johnson. That was a runner-up because that guy's just a clown. I mean, I don't know what he's doing with that hair.
Yeah, that is, it's ridiculous. The fact that anyone has ever taken him seriously is beyond me.
Correct. All right, Greg, so let's jump in. You've got this great comedy club. Now, did I read this correctly? Yeah. You're moving, right? Are you in the new space yet?
Not yet. We have not announced the new space yet. We're in the throes of movement and finding and negotiating and all the things, but we cannot announce anything yet because we do not have those details to put out to the world. As soon as we do, we will let everyone know. And the old space, we closed that in mid-June of this year, this past summer, I should say. And we've been looking for a new spot in Milwaukee because that is where we are a Milwaukee club, we're a Milwaukee company, because we're a Milwaukee comedy. And so, with more days that come, we will give more information.
Awesome. What is that old comedy cafe space on Brady Street still available? Is anything in there?
It's gone.
What do you mean gone? They knocked it down?
They knocked it down. There's an arcade bar there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just gone. Well, actually, I don't know if you knew this, but They were on Water Street just before, if you know Milwaukee, they were on Water Street just before it became Brady. And then they moved to Old World Third.
I remember that.
Where it was a nice small room. It was really fun. I really liked that room. The only thing I didn't like is the back walls had mirrors along it. So while you were doing stand-up, you were watching yourself do stand-up, which was a little disconcerting. But then that one closed, I think, in 2018. And then, Joker's. Joker's closed, I think, the following year, and that was it. We were bereft of comedy clubs in Milwaukee, the city. That is nuts. Yeah.
Wow.
For like a solid 2 years.
So what made you, and then the Laughing Tap appeared and then problem solved. So what made you want to do that? Like for a comic to do that, that's a pretty big plunge, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was the fact that we were already putting on shows around the area, and for a while, we were purposely putting on shows during the week so we didn't compete with the clubs. We didn't, we understand everyone's got to make their money, and we didn't want to try to hone in on anyone's territory. But as we kept doing more shows and the consistency of the clubs, and I shouldn't say consistency, but sometimes they'd be open, sometimes they'd be closed. So we'd start doing shows on weekends. Plus, some comics just can't do a Tuesday night. They want to do a Friday or a Saturday.
Right.
So finally just became part of the story of we will build a comedy club or we will open a comedy club in the next few years. And then it all got hit. The gas got hit hard because someone offered us a space. And in January of 2020, we opened the doors. In March of 2020, we closed the doors for 4 months.
Oh, man.
So.
Well, I applaud you. I think that's so great. And I thought, you know, if I was ever going to own a business, I mean, what more fun could you have than owning a comedy? I'm sure it's got its headaches. I'm sure comics are difficult to deal with sometimes. But how much do you make a year, Greg, doing that?
I make exactly 32,000 laughs a year. And that's not counting taxes, which I pay. I pay my taxes, looking at you, most of Congress. And I will say this. One thing that we've talked about before amongst us who, me and Caitlin and Matt, we are the three who run the club, is we've been very lucky to never work with any comics who have been massive headaches.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their personalities. You know this as well as anybody. There's, I mean, just because a comic's quiet doesn't mean they're mean or they're rude. They just might be quiet. A lot of comics are introverts. A lot of comics, when they get off stage, they're not about going to the bar and whooping it up. They want to go in the back room. They want to think about their show. They want to decompress. That being said, everyone, I mean, I can't think of a single comic who's walked through the room who we've ever said, cannot do this. They are too much personality, too much ego, too much, ugh, don't like that at all. Never again. We've been very lucky in that sense.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, you kind of can pursue the ones you want too.
Absolutely.
You, the people's reputation sometimes precedes them, you know, so. Mm-hmm. Well, that's outstanding. I look forward to the new space, even though I never made it into the old space. I will definitely.
No, Pete, I would love you to, didn't.
Well, listen, I asked for, I said I could do a tight five, and you said no crowd work within that five, and I said, I'll take a hike. I have my...
you have your, you have your, you know, I've got my standards.
That's in my rider, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about the Comedy Festival, Greg. It's, I believe it's this weekend, correct?
It starts, unofficially starts on Monday with the Roast of Milwaukee, which is put on by Milwaukee Record. That's happening at the Cooperage, hosted by our friend Kristen Bry. And it's going to be Milwaukee comedians roasting Milwaukee like they have been. I think this is the 8th or 9th year. Very, very fun. Always a good time. Always making fun of the fun things about Milwaukee and suburban Wisconsin and things like that. And then Tuesday kicks off the official event with Aparna Nancherla, who is, she's been in movies and TV shows. She has written a wonderful book. She will be opening the show at Lakefront Brewery on that Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 7th. And that show is creeping towards sold out. So if you want to go to that show, you want to get tickets sooner than later, you can do that by going to mkecomedyfest.com. And then the next night we're going to be back at the Cooperage with Sean Patton, who you've seen on all the late night shows. And his show, he's a co-star of the show English Teacher, which just premiered their second season last week on FX. He plays the gym teacher. He will be headlining the Cooperage that night on Wednesday, the 8th.
Beautiful.
And then on the 9th, I'm going to go to the 10th real quick. Friday, Shank Hall. Punky Johnson of Saturday Night Live, formerly of Saturday Night Live, will be headlining Shank Hall.
Love her.
On the 10th. I'm so excited to meet her and to watch her work. It's going to be a great time. That Shank Hall is one of the best rooms, one of the best non-comedy club rooms in the city or I've ever been to. It's just perfect for comedy. Intimate, quiet, low ceilings, dark, great staff. Always love working with Shank Hall. And then going back to Thursday, the 9th, we are working with our probably the biggest get. He is the reason why I do stand-up. We have Patton Oswalt. He will be headlining the Pabst Theater.
Oh,
all
nice.
All those tickets, you can find links to those tickets at mkecomedyfest.com. And the thing is that all those shows will have comics on there from the fest, people who have been admitted in. They submitted. We've admitted them in. They are going to be part of it. And then throughout the weekend, Friday late night, two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. And we talk more about that in a moment. But they're going to have a lot of great comics from all over the country doing shows, doing sets. But those are our big four headliners: Aparna Nancherla, Sean Patton, Punky Johnson, and of course Patton Oswalt.
That is an outstanding lineup. My guest is Greg Bach, folks. He is the co-host of Matt and Air on Air that you can hear every day here on Civic Media on the network. And he's also a comedian and one of the producers of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. And that's what we're talking about right now. I was telling a story, Greg. I don't know Patton Oswalt. By the time I had moved to LA, all he had to do was go on stage. And I remember this vividly. And he said, he went on stage and he said, Matt Damon, and people erupted at the anticipation of what he was going to say. I'm like, this guy's a juggernaut, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was telling Conrad, my pal, Jimmy Pardo got married, and Patton and I were both on the roasting team. I don't know him, but he kept calling Jimmy Johnny Pardo, and it was the funniest thing. Like, by the 8th time he said Johnny Pardo, I was in stitches. He's a very funny guy.
He is. He's very funny.
And a good
he's
actor.
One of those comics. Very good actor, great writer. Knowledge of movies is wonderful. He's written a couple great books I've read, and he is, like I said, the reason why I do stand up. He is my
number one
guy, and I'm going to do my best to be both a professional producer, which I always am, but also try not to fanboy too out, fanboy out too much if I have the opportunity to meet him. And yeah, he's just, what I like about him so much is that he also grows. He is a man who is, I think, knocking on 60, and there's a lot of comics out there at his age could do whatever they want or do nothing, but he continues to grow in not only his comedy, but in his opinions of the world, and it's great to listen to him talk about that on stage and be funny at the same time.
That is a great point, because I remember, you remember the HBO Young Comedian specials.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they would have someone on there, and I'm like, well, that's a great point. I'm not really laughing. It's very rare that you can have a Bill Hicks or a Patton Oswalt. He's become that guy who can say really insightful stuff and be hilarious. Yeah. Greg, let's pick it up right there. We're going to do a really short break, and we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes with our pal Greg Bach about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Great texts. Folks, keep those coming. Our question of the night is, what celebrity has the worst hair? I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. We will get to your text soon, and I will give you some more info on our Go for the Green and Gold text to win multi-state contest here at Civic Media. It's really fun. We've been having a blast with it. It goes through Friday. More details coming up in Act 2, and I will give you the keyword shortly after that as well. So stick around. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal, Greg Bach, who is one of the co-hosts of Matt and Air on Air every day here on the Civic Media Network from 9 to 11. And how are things going there? Are you and Jane still getting along, Greg?
Absolutely. We have a great time. It's really fun. I'm very, very lucky to be doing that show. I'm really lucky, honestly, when it comes to this network. And I'm not saying that because I know our overlords are listening.
But they're not listening. Really, come on.
It's radio is something I always wanted to do. I never thought there was going to be an opportunity. And then I received one opportunity. And then I made, like, more happened and more happened. And now I am where I am with the Matt and Aaron Aaron with Jane, who is a legend. I mean, all the time we hear people saying things like, you know, you're with Jane. I've been listening to her since I was a kid.
She's so great.
And then I don't tell her that because then she's like, oh, people are calling me old. I'm like, take a compliment already, would you? But yeah, I mean, it's great. We have a really great time. I think the show is great because we talk about important things, things that affect Wisconsinites, things that affect Americans, but then we also do know how to keep some lighter tones in there. We know how to poke fun at what needs to be poked fun at, revere and respect that needs respect, but we always want to make sure that for ourselves, as the people doing the job, it can be a lot looking at the news every single day and trying to decide what we want to talk about, but then trying to involve a bit of levity, if you will.
Absolutely. Greg is also a very accomplished stand-up comedian and comedy club owner. The Milwaukee Comedy Festival starts Monday, October 6th. They have a great lineup. Patton Oswalt, Punky Johnson, Sean Patton, and Aparna Nancherla. Am I saying that right, Greg?
Yes, you did. Good job.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Look at that. I'm getting better at this.
So
are you going to perform? Are you emceeing or doing anything? Can people see your act?
No, I don't perform during the fest. We you know, that's something that I hold very strongly for me. It's like, I'm not against anyone. I'm not against producers performing in their own festivals if they'd like to.
Sure.
I, for myself, don't, because we have so few slots to begin with.
Right.
That every one that I may take is one less that a comic gets. And especially if they're traveling from around the country, it's just for me. And also to have to think about my set and then also go on and then put on the show and have, it's not apt for concentration and good performance. So I'd much rather just watch and then enjoy from that point of view.
Well said. Let me ask you this. Is there pressure? I mean, this festival has been around for many years, but you know, Milwaukee kind of has a reputation of the city of festivals. Is there pressure to put on like a great festival every year? And do you feel like you do that every year? Or do you ever feel like, oh, we could have, you know, the city's watching, right?
Well, I think that for us personally, like the pressure that we have is not coming from outside forces. It's from within the pressure we put upon ourselves to create the best festival possible with the best headliners and the best people from around the country, from around the world coming through, slotting the shows. I mean, I don't know your experience with producing shows, but putting together a show, in my opinion, is as much an art form as stand-up comedy can be as well, because you have to look at the show, you have to look at the time slot, you have to look at the people, you have to say, okay, these people complement each other, these people have the same style, so we don't want to put them either next to each other or even on the same show. It's about crafting a show and crafting a festival, and the pressure really comes from within. I mean, people have a good time. They have a great time.
Yeah.
And we get great notes and great words, and we have a lot of great reviews from people, both, you know, performers, producers, managers, agents, all the, you know, the only pressure I really ever feel is, can we do as well as we did the year before? Mm. And I can't think of a single festival we ever did where I said, let's never do that again. In fact, you know, we actually did a festival in 2020. We did the 14th and a half annual because it was much smaller, less people, less applicants, and we kept it very, very safe. But even that one was great because it knew what it was in the time we were living, and we were just trying to get out and have as much of a good time as we could with masks and no vaccine. So
yeah,
the pressure always just comes from within. And then as soon as we're done, we're like, oh, and then for like 15 seconds, we're like, let's never do this again.
Wow. I can't even imagine. That does sound like a lot of pressure. Greg Bach is here. We're talking about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. It starts Monday. Coming up at 7:05, Catherine Lake will be here. The station manager of WMDX will be discussing a movie screening of one of my films in Madison. I'm excited about that. And then at 7:35, nice. Dan Davies and director Michael Seibel. Yeah, you going to come, Greg? They're showing a film I made.
I'll be to your movies more times than you've been to the Laughing Tap, Peep Schwabba.
I will come to the Laughing Tap as a show of good faith. I want to.
There you go.
I want to be there anyway. I'm sure you guys are going to have a great space. Before we let you go, Greg, we've got about a minute. Who makes you laugh? You're a savvy guy, probably a little jaded when it comes to comedy. Who's out there right now that really makes you laugh?
I mean, honestly, the people who make me laugh aren't even comedians sometimes, you know, or people that comedians make me laugh off stage privately. We're having a good time. But I would say someone who still makes me laugh to this day, who's performing. Oh, God. Another one of those. I would say Kyle Kinane. I would say Kyle Kinane always makes me laugh. There's something about him that just sounds so conversational, but it's so brilliant the way he talks. And and then someone like my friend Matty Field, who always makes me laugh when we're hanging out, and he's a great comedian, but he's even funnier off stage.
I like all these guys. You've had Kyle at the festival before. Love Todd Berry. Brian Posehn, lovely guy. Mary Mack, she's been on the show. She's hilarious.
Guys, you have a lot of my friends are on your show.
Oh, well, hey, keep sending them. We love the comedians. Yeah. So it's
absolutely.
Greg, best of luck. Crush it with the festival. Keep us posted. And I really, truly cannot wait to see your new space. So keep me posted on that as well.
Will do, Pete. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Okay, buddy. That's Greg Bach. Listen to Matt and Aaron Air every day here on the network from 9 to 11. Such a great show. Greg is outstanding on the show, as is Jane. So we will wrap this up for intermission and be back for Act 2 with Catherine Lake. And a key word awaits all of you folks. Do not go anywhere. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jumping on a fast train. Gotta go on the lamp.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.